Pirkei Avos is actually, it's written by people who practice what they preached, right? Every time it says, Hu Haya Omer, he used to say, what it's saying is not that he said it once or two, but this was kind of his life mantra. And it's what it teaches us is that Torah is transformational.
Hi, I'm Alex Fletcher.
And I'm Rivki Silver.
We love having deep, meaningful conversations with each other and also with the incredible Jewish women who come on our podcast to share their wisdom, expertise, and perspective.
We choose the best speakers to discuss the topics that are on our mind.
And we're hoping they speak to you just as much as they speak to us.
As one listener said, DMC is like hanging out with friends for coffee and discussing the topics we're all thinking about.
Welcome to Deep, Meaningful Conversations.
Like to give a big thank you to Town Appliance for being our podcast sponsor. Did you know that Town Appliance is the largest appliance retailer in the tri-state area? They offer the customers the lowest possible price for any appliance they choose.
Town Appliance is known for providing the best, most honest, and most efficient customer service there is. Town Appliance carries all major appliance brands displayed in three showrooms in Lakewood, Cedarhurst, and Baltimore, and they offer a wide selection of appliances in-store and online, covering all household needs, refrigeration, cooking, laundry, dishwashing, cooling and heating, as well as outdoor living. So Town Appliance doesn't just sell appliances.
Town Appliance also offers shipping nationwide. Their website and contact information can be found in our show notes. Okay, listeners, we have three episode sponsors today. Super exciting information to share with you. So don't skip by. Stay and listen. First, we're going to tell you all about WHEE by SR Play. That's W-H-E-E. WHEE is the leader in backyard fun and safety. So, you know, playgrounds are central to children's physical, emotional, and social development. Kids love playing on play sets.
Yeah, and you really want to get it right when you are figuring out what kind of play set to get. WHEE offers customized play sets so you can create that magical space for your children in your own backyard. WHEE's the leading manufacturer of play sets since 2010.
Nice. So if you are looking for exceptional quality, safety, and customer service, and like, why wouldn't you? Hello. Then WHEE is your brand for your next play set. WHEE plus you equals lasting fun.
You'll find their contact information in our show notes as well as their website link where you can download their catalog. We're so grateful for Yad Batya Lakala for being this episode's sponsor of DMC. Yad Batya Lakala is the leading Hachnasas Kala organization, and they are running their 36th annual auction, Libi Bamizrach, Hearts United from Across the Ocean.
Beautiful.
Yes. Now, this is one unusual auction. Considering that our hearts are with our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, what they're doing is that for the lucky winners of four specific prizes, Yad Batya Lakala will donate a matching prize to a kala or a displaced family in Eretz Yisrael.
That is incredible.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
So you definitely want to purchase tickets for this one. The live auction drawing event takes place on Tuesday, March 5th at 7 p.m. at the Kingsway Jewish Center in Brooklyn, New York. The guest speaker is Mrs. Brenda Katina. You can find all the information you need about the event as well as how to purchase auction tickets at auction.yadbatya.org. That's Y-A-D-B-A-T-Y-A.org. And we'll link to that in our show notes, so be sure to check it out. Thank you to Kav Halacha for being a sponsor for this episode of DMC. Okay, this is an incredible service that I think everyone needs to know about. Have you ever needed to ask a shaila, but maybe you didn't know where to turn? Maybe you don't have a rav, like you just moved to a new town, you don't have a rav yet. Or maybe you have a rav, but they're not available, they're out of the country, you can't reach them. Maybe you weren't comfortable discussing your shaila with someone you knew. Maybe it was a little embarrassing.
So Kav Halacha provides halachic expertise available literally day and night around the world. And in minutes, because every shaila deserves a world-class psak. With Kav Halacha, you'll have around-the-clock accessibility to leading poskim. So how it works is they have various divisions depending on your shaila, so you can get your questions answered as soon as possible. There's medical halacha division, end-of-life division, hashkacha division, or all those kashrus questions, and a stam division for the mezuzah to fill in shilos.
Nice.
And what I love about this is that no shaila is too small or too serious. Of course, the prominent Rabbanim on the line are prepared to answer your shaila, even if it doesn't fall into any of those categories. So they're available really for anything.
Wow. If you're in the U.S., the number to know is 732-707-6666. We'll put this number as well as the local numbers for Eretz Israel, the UK, and Australia in our show notes. You can also visit kavhalacha.org, kavhalacha.org, which we'll link to as well, to learn more about this groundbreaking initiative.
Welcome to another episode of DMC. So, Rivki, we are now in that stretch post-winter break for most of us. And pre-perm.
Yeah.
You know, when I like look at that calendar and you just see these like bouts of stretches, that's how I look at my calendar.
But at least there's two otters this year. There's two otters.
Right. That's right.
I'm like breathing a little bit.
Yes. Yes. It is
like,
very.
Hashem knew that we needed extra like simcha this year.
But then once we hit perm, it's like perm to Pesach. Yeah. That's quick.
And then summer. And then sleepaway camp.
Well, yeah. But before we even get to that point, we take that like Pesach to school, but like I'm like, oh, school's over. Like Pesach's over, well, school's over.
Sorry, teachers.
Six weeks,
and the
4 weeks.
We don't know.
Yep.
So the school is basically done right when you hit Purim, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, sort of in my mind. And it's actually really funny because my daughter literally said that to me on the phone yesterday. I mean, we're before Purim. She's like, seminary's over because she's in seminary. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's definitely not done.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, so. You know, while we're joking about this, on the other hand, I think that we should definitely stop and reflect that it's been 4 months today. We're recording this on February 7th.
Yeah.
And it's been 4 months since the her atrocities of October 7th. So that means that our hostages have been stolen from us for 4 months now.
Right. I mean, you can't even wrap your minds around it. And we definitely need this calendar, I think, to sort of slow down because we need them to be released yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's so unbelievable, but also I think really important to give pause.
Yeah.
Every day we should just give pause, and no matter what we're doing, if we're on vacation, we're getting ready for Purim, we need to remember like this, the calendar is moving and time is stomping by, but for those hostages,
you know, every day is an eternity.
Well, exactly.
And it's I was actually just thinking about this because like, you know, the here in the United States, February 14th is Valentine's Day, and like it's like you go to the stores and everything's hearts and pink, and like there's all this advertising for this holiday, the silly holiday, anyways. But like now it's like the feeling of we are just functioning in a different reality than the rest of the world. Oh, yes. All these secular holidays that come up, and you're like, well, you're like, you were meaningless before, and now like it's ridiculous. Like, go away, Valentine's Day ad, and you know that I'm seeing wherever. Like, it's like, do you not realize what's going on? It's just, it's really very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, cognitive dissonance all the time.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful.
Anyways, we hope that when we speak to Meira Calland next episode about all her advocacy work that she does for Israel in Israel, we can celebrate the release.
Amen.
Bezos Hashem. Yeah. In the meantime, let's tell you about today's episode. We have a very special guest, Gila Ross, who is absolutely a ray of sunlight in these dark times. We hope that the discussion we have with her today gives us all the chizuk we need in our daily lives.
Yes, Gila is a renowned teacher in Rebbetzin, having taught in Germany, Canada, the UK, and the United States. She's going to be telling us about her personal journey to become who she is today. And also, she's just come out with a beautiful book called Living Beautifully, How to Bring Meaning, Joy, and Love into Your Life Based on the Timeless Wisdom of Pirkei Avos. So we want to talk to her about her favorite tools for life as she's learned through writing her book.
So we're going to jump right into this DMC with Gila Ross. We hope you love it as much as we did.
Welcome to DMC, Gila. We are so excited to have you.
I'm so excited to be here. It's like such an honor to be on like the famous DMC podcast. Thank you.
Yeah, so let's start. I love to have you introduce yourself to our listeners.
So that question kind of always like throws me a little bit for a loop. Like, how do I introduce myself?
I know.
So relatable.
Yes. So I'm Gila Ross, and I am an educator, a Rebbetzin, a coach. And basically what I love to do is to help Jewish people find more joy, more meaning, more love, bring it into their lives. And I use, basically what a lot of what I do is I use Torah
to help people do that. And it's fantastic, because the amazing thing about Torah wisdom is that I just have to convey it over to people. And it's so relatable. It's like one of the things that I hear the whole time is that, wow, that relates so much to what I'm going through right now. So that's kind of what I like to do. I'm also a mom and a wife, and that's me a little bit.
So nice. Gila al regal achas. It's great. So you have been in a lot of different communities over the years. You and your husband have taught in communities in Germany, in Canada, and the UK, and now you're in the States, right?
That's correct. Oh, yeah. We moved to Denver in August, and a few months ago.
Welcome to the expanded colonies. so tell us how you became the person that you are today, and like, were you an aspiring Ribbitson as a teen, or is this something that just Hashem handed to you unexpectedly? Tell us about how you got to where you are.
Both, I would say both, right? Because we kind of have, well, me anyway, I kind of have a picture of what you're going to do and what your life's going to look like. And then every so often Hashem says, actually, I'm gonna redirect you a little bit, right? So it's a good question. I still don't think of myself as a Rebbetzin, to be honest, right? And it's kind of something that I grapple with, like, you know, do I call myself a Rebbetzin? Do I not call myself a Rebbetzin? Because I definitely don't think of myself or feel like a Rebbetzin. But on the other hand, I do feel like, you know, someone who is in a Jewish professional should have a title, just like we have doctors and professors and you know, rabbis. So should women educators also have a title? So that's kind of like when you ask me, did you always see yourself as a Rebbetzin? I'm like, hold on a second. Who is this Rebbetzin that you're talking about, right? But I did, from actually as a teenager, I did love learning and teaching. And I remember the conversation where kind of like I felt like, ooh, I'd love to do this. So as a teenager, I was talking to a friend about some sort of like deep, meaningful conversation, right? And I actually don't remember the content of the conversation, but I do remember that she made a comment to me at that point. She was like, wow, you've got a real way of making concepts clear. And it was kind of like at that point that I sort of recognized that I could do this. And that sort of sparked my interest in teaching. I never intended to live in so many places. Mm-hmm. I have many times said, ooh, this is our last move. And Hashem has sent me a different way. And now I'm like, people ask me, we moved here, you know, a few months ago. So people ask me, so how long are you here for? And I've learned enough to know that I don't know. So I kind of like say, you know, please God, this is our home, but I don't know. I don't know what life has in store going forward.
And what brought you to Denver?
Great question. So we were living in the UK beforehand. And when we moved to Manchester, UK about 6 years ago, it was like, that's it, not moving again. My kids are older. My oldest at the time was almost 13. His bar mitzvah was like 2.5 weeks after we moved, which was a whole other story.
Yeah.
Just tired, right? And I was like, that's it. We're not moving again because my kids are too old to move. And then this opportunity came up. We're working for the Jewish Experience in Denver, and they were looking for someone to direct their women's experience and their family experience, and someone that we knew connected us. And it was like, I'm not moving to Denver, but we'll have a Zoom conversation. I'm not moving, but we'll have. And we had another Zoom conversation, and then we had a pilot trip, and then we're here.
Wow. So, beautiful. Yeah. Well, we have a lot of fans in Denver. Not a lot of fans. We are a fan. Well, we have a lot of fans in Denver. Hey, Denver ladies. But we have had the famous Aliza Bulow and Rachel Goldbaum, amazing Denver ladies, on our podcast.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes. Denver's on the map.
It absolutely is.
100%. 100%.
Okay, so you're here, Gila, obviously, to share you with our audience, but also to talk about your recently published book, which is Living Beautifully. Love that title. We're going to talk about that. How to bring meaning, joy, and love into your life based on the timeless wisdom of Pirkei Avos. We want to know from you why you wrote this book. You know, like we all have that one day when I write a book. Well, you actually wrote a book, so I got to hear all about that. You know, and why this book, and what are you hoping that it accomplishes?
Okay, loads of great questions there. So it's interesting. It never started out as a book. And whenever I had this idea of like, let's write a book, it was never write a book on Pirkei Avos, right? Because basically what Living Beautifully is a book that goes through Pirkei Avos. And so how did it start? Is during COVID, I was teaching. Yet the women that I were teaching, most of them were home with kids, working, right? They were crazy, 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 like for a lot of people, COVID was. Yet there was this deep need for spirituality, for connection, right? But people couldn't just come to an hour-long Zoom class or a 45-minute Zoom class or you know, when one person could do it, the other person couldn't. So I was kind of like thinking, how do I offer women a something like something meaningful at a time and a place where they can access it? So I already had a podcast at the time, my Power Up podcast. And I had this idea together with my husband, had just finished a SEAM with some of his students. And I was like, what can we do for women? So I had this idea. Over the next 6 months, what I was going to do is go through Pirkei Avos and in like two episodes a week, up to 15 minutes a week, I would go through the whole of Pirkei Avos over the next 6 months. Hardest project I have ever done, right? this was during COVID, kids were all home, right? You know what recording a podcast is like. The commitment of doing it twice a week, like there were many, many, many times, yeah, that I recorded in my car because it was the only quiet place in the vicinity where I could actually record. And it was what happened was incredible, though, because I recorded it for a certain demographic, right? People that couldn't yet didn't really have much of a Jewish background. And I got feedback from women across and men, the truth is, across the spectrum, saying how, like, from non-from, right? Religious, not religious, like so many different people. And a lot of what they were saying was like, wow, this speaks to just what I'm going through right now, right? And people's different life circumstances. And again, like, this is the beauty of Pirkei Avos, of Torah, is that it speaks to, you're going through this, I'm going through this, someone else is going through this. I see it in my classes the whole time. Like, I'm, you know, like, it's amazing. Hashem often sends me the class, forget about the students, that I need to learn, right? Yeah. So it was just incredible. So then kind of I finished the podcast. It actually took me 9 months to finish it. I finished the whole of Pirkei Avos. And someone kind of asked me, so what's next? And I jokingly said, well, in my spare time, I'd love to turn the content into a book. But it was like a joke, like, ha ha, right? Like, I've got family and I've got a job and I've got like so many commitments, like, not happening. And at the same time, I don't know how this happened. I guess it was one of those things that Hashem just kind of threw into my head. There was this idea of like, ooh, maybe I should write a book. And I reached out to Mosaica Press and they immediately contacted me and were like, we'd love to work with you. And I, you know, we had a conversation and I kind of like let it go because I didn't really have a clear idea of what I wanted, what this book would be. And at some point I reached out to Rabbi Kornbluth and I was kind of like, you know, I could do this for a book, or I've got a series on my podcast on Pirkei Avos that people really loved. What do you think about that? And he was like, do it. And I was like, really? He's like, yes. there isn't, I believe at this point, it's the first book on Pirkei Avos written by a woman.
Nice.
So that's kind of how it became a book. And I think you asked about the title Living Beautifully, and I actually can't remember how I remember how I came up with that specific phrase, and it wasn't me, it was someone else. Why beautifully is because I think that is what Pirkei Avos teaches us, right? So Pirkei Avos is that part of Torah that's focused on ethics, on values, on how to live life. And it's not just about doing right or wrong, and it's not just about living a meaningful life, but really it's about infusing our life with beauty, right? Like, you know, we want that. We don't just want to live a meaningful life, I think. We don't just want to do what's right and wrong, but we want to live a beautiful life. Like, if you think about how much, and I'm just thinking about this is because we just recently renovated our house, is that how much effort we put into making sure that being an aesthetically pleasing environments. And I think it's coming from that deep neshama drive that knows that Hashem wants us to live a beautiful life, right? So our surroundings should be beautiful, and our life is, as well should be beautiful. And that's kind of what I wanted to portray in the title of the book, is that these are kind of tools for bringing, right, the meaning, the joy, the love into your life that really helps us live a beautiful life.
One of the things I love about this is that there is often like that desire to like, oh, but is my life meaningful? Am I doing something meaningful? And I think that like kind of taking that and kind of like shifting the perspective a little bit, not just meaningful, which of course we all want to be doing things in our life that imbue our life with meaning, but that concept of beautiful. And it's true, like so many things in the Torah like are meant to elevate the mundane and elevate this world and to make it so that we should wear beautiful clothes, and we should have beautiful Shabbos table, and we set it with china, and we have delicious food. Like all these things are things of beauty that are meaningful and beautiful. It's like and it's like a level up. Do you know what I mean? It's
and it's a drive that we have within us, right? As you said about clothing, right? We don't just want to wear like clothing that covers or keeps us warm or is functional. We want to look pretty. We want to look beautiful, right? It's the same. It's that deep drive within us, and I think it's coming from a place because that's what Hashem wants for us. Mm-hmm.
So, Gila, could you give us an example of what that means to live beautifully? That is a, I don't know, is it a spiritual, is it aspirational, but the non-physical examples of living beautifully?
The non-physical, so I think in our relationships, right? Our relationships is a big thing, right? We don't just want to coexist with the people that we live with. We want to have fun together. We want to enjoy the time together. We want to, right? Like, you know, if you think about it, I'm a mother, right? So I spend time with my kids. I don't just want to get them through the day, right?
Although sometimes we do.
We want to get through the day. That we want to get through the day, right? And sometimes we're in survival mode. Yeah. As we get through the day, that's like win-win, right? We get, right? But we also want to enjoy the time that right. we spend with them on some level. And obviously, like, depending on the ages of your kids and depending on your thing, like, I very much live in the real world, right? Like I have what people would call a large family, right? Like I know what it's like. But there is that drive within us for like, let's enjoy it. It's not just functional. It's not just meaningful, right? Raising the next generation of children is very meaningful. But if it's at that level, a lot of us feel like, you know, why am I not enjoying this, right? Like, and we do want to bring it, even if in relationships with friends, right? And I talk about this in the book. I've got a chapter on this, that friendships is an integral part of our lives, and it's a very functional part of our growth and our life as well. And it's a beautiful part of our life, right? So it's all those kind of things. I think the whole relationship piece in our life, it brings so much into our life. And it brings so much stress and so much beauty.
I like that. I like that
very
much.
That's great reframing.
Mm-hmm. We are very much looking forward to discussing the tools for life that you have for us in the book. But first, we're just going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors.
If you are looking for a new home appliance, Town Appliance is the obvious choice. Appliances are major purchases, and you want to get it right the first time with the right customer service addressing all your needs as from shoppers.
Town Appliance also offers a price match guarantee, which means that they will match any price of an authorized dealer, which is pretty cool. So check out our show notes for the link and contact information and get started on your new appliance shopping today with Town Appliance. So excited to tell you about our episode sponsor, We by SR Play. Are you in the market for a swing set? Is your yard looking a little bit bare? You want something for the kids to play on? Look no further. This is the brand you want and the company that you want to work with.
You want to work with a customer service team that's going to consider everything when you're buying a swing set. So we're talking about the size and layout of your yard, the features that you want, the ages of your kids, the style. Their playgrounds are made of the top of the line vinyl and other materials and are customized to the needs and wants of your family. We plus you equals lasting fun.
And We ships around the country and also to Canada. So you will find the contact information as well as their website link in our show notes. Let's take a moment to tell you more about the upcoming Yad Bati Lakala action, Libi B'Mizrach. Here's an amazing opportunity to both help the leading Hachnasas Kala organization worldwide, as well as to help Kalas and displaced families in Eretz Israel.
So buy an auction ticket or more to their upcoming auction, which will take place on March 5th. If you win one of four selected prizes, an equal prize will be donated in Eretz Israel. It is so special and a wonderful response to the Kurt Mitzvah in Israel. Please visit our show notes for the link to purchase tickets and auction information. Let's get you back to our DMC with Gila.
Okay, so each chapter of the book corresponds to each chapter of Pirkei Avos, and it's timeless lessons. Pirkei Avos is one of my favorite parts of Torah. I really loved it. It's one of the first things that I learned when I was learning about Judaism, actually. Yeah, and I was like, this is amazing. And I still feel that way. So we'd love to hear from you, like, what are your favorite lessons from the book? I know that's it's a hard thing to ask because there's a lot, but let's go.
It is a hard thing to ask. And it's interesting because when I kind of like finished writing it and it was going through the editing phase and I kind of wanted to put like a conclusion and ending to the book. And I was thinking like, what is it that I want readers to get from it? And because it's so broad, right? Like Pirkei Avos covers everything. It covers our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with others, our relationship with God. It covers communication. It covers, it even talks, teaches us how to navigate social media, right? Like it's got everything in there.
Wow.
Yes, it's. I've got bits in my book, a chapter in my book about that as well. Because what's the amazing thing about Pirkei Avos, I think, is that it teaches us that even though it was written thousands of years ago, it's part of the oral Torah, so obviously it was handed down, but it was written, and you could look at it and say, ah, their lives were so different, right? But the human struggles are all the same, right? They're all the same, and that's why we can look at it and relate to it, and like, wow, these are given to us by people that were masters. So I think one of the first things that I my favorite parts about it is that it very much opens up for a person the space to find your favorite lessons, right? I can tell you what it is, and I'll tell you it changes. It changes day by day by what's going on in my life, and it changes season by season depending on how our life changes. It's interesting that when we moved to Denver, when we were in the process of leaving the UK and moving to Denver, someone actually said to me, one of my students, he said, did you ever think that God made you write the book so that it should help you make that journey? And I looked at him and I like, I never thought about it, but good call. It's true, right? Because again, right, you know, we have a plan. Hashem has a plan, and we have to like navigate that distance, and Torah helps us do that. So one of my favorite parts about it is that really it gives a person the space to find your favorite lessons, right? And it's going to be different for every person because there's so much in it. So and that's kind of like the thing that I want readers to take away from is you finish reading the book, you finish reading a chapter, think about, how does this relate to me, right? Like, what is it that I can take away from it with me? So that's one of my favorite lessons, I guess, from Pirkei Avos. Another one is, again, you know, we live in the age of information, right? Google, and you want to find research something, you'll find it very hard to find to actually do the research. But if you want to find information to back up your point of view, you'll find that easily, right? But what Pirkei Avos is actually, it's written by people who practice what they preached, right? Every time it says, Hu Haya Omer, he used to say, what it's saying is not that he said it once or two, but this was kind of his life mantra. And it's what it teaches us is that Torah is transformational, right? Torah can stay at the intellectual level, right? Where we just, you know, we learn it and it's oh, that was interesting, and we move on. But really what it's supposed to do is that it's supposed to transform us. And I think particularly for women, right? Men have the mitzvah of studying Torah just for the sake of Torah, whereas women, we have the mitzvah of studying Torah to live a Torah life, right? So it's really, really supposed to impact us, and it changes so many things when we really deeply understand it. It's interesting because I don't know if I should say this, but I'm going to say it anyway, right? A lot of times, you know, I meet people that have really been burned by the Jewish community, by leaders or different people, right? And I think when we understand this, that Torah is supposed to be transformational, we can understand, it helps us navigate that hurt. Because number one, it teaches us who to look for in a leader, right? We don't want to just look for someone who looks the part or has the name or whatever, but we want to look for someone who has what we are aspiring to or who is further ahead to what we are aspiring to, which doesn't mean that you know, if you're looking for someone who is the Torah ideal, you're never going to find them, right? Or even if you find them, you're probably going to struggle to make a relationship with them, right? But when we're looking for a Torah leader, if we can understand that a Torah leader is someone whose Torah has transformed them, right? In an area of life, right? So if I'm looking for someone who's a role model in patience, right? In parenting, right? In leadership, right? I have to look for someone, not just someone who looks the part or who talks the part, but I have to look for someone who behaves the part, right? And when we understand that, sometimes we can put the hurt in context, right? Because sometimes what happens is a big part of that hurt comes because we look at this person or we look at this institution that we think is, you know, a Torah institution, and we put them on a pedestal, right? And then when we get let down, we realize, like, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, right? And then it extends not to just this person or whatever, but to the community, right? But if we can look at it and say, hold on a second, right? So this person has an area that they struggle with, right? Which is what has let me down or hurt me, right? It could be Torah transformed them in other areas, right? And it could be that this person is just not a role model for me, right? Then it kind of shifts that I don't know if this is making sense. So feel free to weigh in.
No, I think it's a very interesting point, like that nekuda of, like, this is not an area that Torah has touched in this person's life, and whatever the chisaron is, whatever it is that they're not behaving the way that we imagine a Torah personality should behave. But to say that, but maybe there are other areas of life that they have been touched in, because it's true, we all are many parts. And we all have, you know, some of us are better at time management and worse at patience, or, you know, I don't know, just hypothetically speaking.
We're all human. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that Torah is supposed to transform us means that there's something to be transformed, right? We're not finished products, none of us.
Yeah.
Torah leaders are, or Torah institutions or whatever it is, right? Like, are no different, right? They're all run by humans who are working towards something and who are hopefully accessing Torah to transform them. And not everyone allows Torah to transform them, right? So that also bears it in mind, but it's very much, you know, it comes across again and again and again in Pirkei Avos, is that Torah is supposed to transform us. It's not just an intellectual study. It's not you just read it through and, oh, that's interesting, but it's really supposed to be something that transforms you, right?
So, like, so when someone's looking for someone to look up to, or someone to be a role model, or someone to be a rav, are you kind of implying that they should look for someone who appears to be the kind of person they would want to follow, and then just, like, pay attention and study for, I don't know, whatever period of time, and to just kind of see, like, how would a person tell, you know, that this is a person that is bona fide, I don't know how to say that, but, you know, someone to actually follow?
Right. So firstly, that's a great question. I love that question. I think firstly, you have to understand, look, we have in this generation, we have a few, the way it works, right? We have a few, you know, Gedolei Yisrael, right? Who are refined. I remember once meeting Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, and, like, I walked away from that meeting. That story as well was a crazy story. I walked away from that meeting feeling like, wow, like, this is what a Torah personality was. Right? When we were living in Vancouver, we were looking for advice on whether we should stay or move on. It was a very, very hard decision for us. And basically, we moved for our kids. We asked him, and I, like, just the way he answered, right? Like, he didn't give us advice. He kind of just, like, kept quiet. And it was such humility. Like, it was just, like, such a beautiful experience, right, to see that, you know, this is what a Torah personality is, right? The reality is, though, most of us can't have a relationship with someone of that level, right? We're not going to have access to it, right? So instead, we have to find people who we can build a relationship with, right? Because relationship with people that we can learn from is, again, something that comes up in Pirkei Avos in the book, is so important for us in life. And sometimes we need different types of role models, right? We need someone who we can turn to for parenting, someone we can turn to for personal growth, and someone we can turn to for halachic questions, right? And I think it's important to understand, firstly, that we are learning from someone who is human, right? And the nature of human beings is that we're not perfect, right? We are going to mess up, and the people that we learn from are also going to mess up. Right. So that firstly is to understand that, right? Is to take like that pedestal away. Now, people are going to mess up. How they navigate the messing up is a huge turning point, I think, for us, right? Someone who has the humility to be able to talk through that and you know, is someone that is incredibly, incredibly worthwhile to learn from. But it's also, you know, you're looking for someone who behaves a certain way. Right? Like it's very hard to say, you know, this, that, and the other, right? But it's someone who behaves with Torah values. I think that's what it's important. I hope that answered the question.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how would you sum up, let's say, this as like the lesson from the book as one of your favorite lessons?
It's a great question. I would sum it up as to understand that we are all human, and Torah is here to transform us, to become better, to take us to, you know, a little bit better all the time. And I think when we kind of see that, it's a very compassionate way of looking at ourselves and then looking at other people. And I think, you know, we talk about self, or maybe this is just me, but we talk about self-compassion the whole time. You hear about self-compassion the whole time, but like, what on earth does that actually mean, right? Like, what does it mean to be compassionate? But when we understand that Hashem created us imperfect, right? That's the way it's supposed to be, right? We are supposed to mess up. We are supposed to make mistakes. And Torah is there to help us get a little bit better, hopefully every day, right? Then it's a very compassionate way of looking at ourselves and of looking at other people, right? Because, yeah, people mess up, okay, right? Obviously, that doesn't mean anything goes and whatever, right? You know, there's so much more you can talk about it. And again, this comes up in Pirkei Avos, right? We have to, you know, that we can't go in with our eyes shut, right? And if someone's having a negative impact on our lives, someone's a negative influence, Pirkei Avos is very clear. You step away from that, right? But again, it's in context. And I've got chapters in my book on this, and Pirkei Avos talks about it, right? And that's, I think, the hard thing about picking out favorite lessons, because it's a very much a holistic approach, right? You learn about relationships, right? You learn about the different types of relationships. You learn about how important it is to surround yourselves with the positive relationships. And you also learn about, don't fool yourself into thinking that if negative relationships don't have an impact, because they very much do have an impact on our lives.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's keep going. Well, tell us another one.
I think it's maybe it's a hard lesson. Maybe it's just for me a hard lesson to kind of incorporate. But it's again a very compassionate way of looking at ourselves and our life, right? And I think maybe I'm going to go out on, you know, on like a thing, but I think all of us have curveballs that life throws at us, right? We expect things to happen a certain way and then it happens differently. You know, we expect to marry a certain type of person. We expect to get married. We expect to get a certain job. We expect our life to go. And then, you know, life happens to us as and throws us. And it can be very easy to kind of feel like, what am I doing wrong? It's interesting. I was talking to, I met someone a few days ago, and she was telling me that, they had a child, and the child has very, very severe developmental delays. Mm. And her husband feels like, you know, God is punishing me. And it's not, it's, I think it's a very normal reaction, right? It's not a correct, necessarily a correct reaction, right? There are 8 different reasons why Hashem does, why bad things happen. To correct us is one of those, but there's 7 other reasons. And again, like even the way we look at punishment is very much, influenced by the world we live in, right? When we take that step back and we recognize that Hashem loves us, Hashem does everything for us for a purpose, right? And that purpose is to help us move a little bit closer to our perfection, right? It doesn't necessarily help us understand why certain things happen, right? But when we can see this and we can remind ourselves of this, oftentimes we'll start to see patterns in our life, right? We'll start to see how, this person who I didn't marry, right? Or this person that I did marry, or the job that I got, or the job that I didn't get, or the kids that I didn't get, or the kids that I did get, right? Are all there helping me become closer to my perfection. And I think, again, it's a very compassionate way at looking at our life, right? It's not that Hashem is out to get me, and it's not because I'm a terrible person and therefore, I didn't merit to get married, or I didn't merit to have kids, or I didn't, or the kids, right? It's not because of that. It's because there is a purpose to this, right? And it's there with the potential to help us move along our soul's journey, which again, I think is something, it's for me anyway, it's not being I read that once and now I'm good, right?
Yeah. Sure. That's a lifelong lesson. We have to keep reminding ourselves and keep learning.
Yes. I'll also add, like, when you hear that, and if you're not going through anything in particular, when you're hearing it, you're like, oh yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, exactly.
But then when you're going through something and then you hear it, like every word of what you said becomes this like balming, like, solution that just feels so comforting when you hear it, when it actually resonates due to something particular in your life,
Yeah. It's like touches the soul.
It does.
Right?
Yeah,
and,
it does.
And it's the beautiful thing about it is that it's not just calming and helpful. It's truth.
Right. Yeah. Cause it resonates as truth when it actually means something to you.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah,
I like that.
But I guess at the same time, what would you tell someone who like is not at a place, is at a place where like a lot of stuff is just going wrong? A lot of stuff, there's a lot of curveballs. Like, how it is sometimes there's like a flurry of curveballs.
Right. It's like, okay, Hashem gave, like, I could see me this curveball, that, and this is like externally, like sometimes you have friends who like one thing after the next that we know about that are very obvious curveballs that are evident to others. And it's like, why is Hashem like doing this to them? Like, right. Give them a break for a minute.
Right. Or
like, and those are only the ones that like we see.
Right. And I feel like, when someone has a lot of curveballs, like, do you find that it's harder to internalize that this lesson could almost be like painful in a sense, like,
Yeah. You have to be in the place to hear it. Yeah. And I think, if you ask the question, the first thing that came to mind when you said, like, what do you tell someone who's actually going through that? And my initial response is, you don't tell them anything. You just be with them, right? Yeah. You be with them. And again, I think for anyone that's been through something in life, just being with them. And there's a lot of actually psychological research that shows that trauma isn't just what happens. It's actually more about who is with the person when it happens, right? Like having someone who's with you to carry that pain and is something, right? And I don't think, again, like I think it's important to know that we don't know, right? I remember when after October 7th broke out, and one of my students from Manchester contacted me, and she's like, we hear about like exactly what you're saying. We hear about like everything happens for a reason, and I'm like, yeah, that's for afterwards, right? Right now, we're in the throes of it, and we have no clue, right? And it's fine to turn around to Hashem and say, Hashem, I have no idea what you want from me right now. Like, I honestly have no clue what you want from me right now. And just to be there with others. And I think for ourselves as well, right? To be compassionate with ourselves for where we are in our journey, right? I think, people talk about faith, right? And then their faith being shaken. And I actually like to look at it as your faith is being deepened, right? Because it's very easy to believe in Hashem when everything falls in, right? You know, I had a situation in my life where I had one of those incredible Hashgacha stories that I used to love to share. And then it ended up not being so great, right? So when everything fell together, it was so easy to believe in Hashem and to say, wow, look, right? But then when that kind of like fell apart and it was like, oh, I wasn't counting on this ending. That's not how I would have written it, right? It's much harder, but it's the same God. It's coming from the same place of love. I don't know why you're doing this, right? And as a parent, I kind of like to compare it to brushing my kids' teeth, right? You know, I've got little kids as well, right? And they ask me, they come to me and they say, Mommy, can I have a cookie? And if I'm like distracted and busy and I'll say yes, they're like, oh, I love you. You're the best mother ever, right? And a few hours later, I'm like, okay, it's time. I'm going to brush your teeth. And it's like, you're the worst. Like, how can you do this to me, right? Yeah. What they don't understand is that very often when I give the cookie, it's not because I love you and I want to give you something. It's because I don't want to say no the whole time, right? Right. But when I brush your teeth, I know it's going to be uncomfortable for both of you, but I'm going to insist on it because I love you and I care about you and I care about your health. Now, the analogy is not perfect. It's not even very good, but because everything that Hashem does is for the good, right? Hashem doesn't get distracted and lose his patience and say, okay, take the cookie, right? Just take the cookie and let me like, you know, put dinner in the oven, right? Hashem gives us the cookie because it's good for us and he loves us. And it's the same love and goodness that's coming from Hashem that that's the hard stuff as well. And Hashem created the world in a way where we cannot see it, right? We cannot see that there are some things that, and I think I read this in the book Basel Plans by Rebbetzin Heller, which is incredible, and Chava Drigler. And there are some things that we can't understand. And there are some things that Hashem created the world in a way that we cannot see it. So if you can't understand why Hashem's doing it to you, understand enough that it's coming, try and tap into the fact that it is coming from a place of love. And I can't see it because that's the way that Hashem made it. And again, sometimes we can hear it and sometimes we can't. And Hashem created us as human beings with emotions, and those emotions are healthy. What we do with them is thing, but we can draw it. We can use those emotions to bring us closer to Hashem. And if those emotions are anger at Hashem or confusion or distance, it's normal, I think, right? And I think that the important thing is don't give up on the relationship, right? Just because of what you're going through there, right? If you're in a relationship with someone that you love, someone that's important to your life, and you hit a tough patch, you don't just walk away from the relation at that point, right? You talk through it. You work through it. Sometimes you go for professional help, right? These are all important tools, right, that a person should go through, right? Professional help, rabbis, teachers, therapists, whatever it is, patience as well. And don't give up on the relationship. Keep working through it. Keep talking to Hashem. You can tell him, right, that I don't understand. He's got broad shoulders. He can carry it.
Amazing. I'm totally ready to hear more lessons. Let's keep going.
You should get the book then.
We have the book. Everyone else should get the book. All of our listeners. We're going to link to it in the show notes.
Yes, yes, of course. For sure. Okay,
thank you. So there's the bigger picture, and I'm going to share. And this again, I think is for me, it was surprising to see this in Pirkei Avos, because it's about relationships. There's a lot of talk about relationships in there. And I think, again, maybe this is my failing, but I think we often think about Judaism and Frumkeit in terms of like kashrus and kosher and Shabbos and you know, not cheating and not lying and not, you know, taking things that don't belong to us and all those types of things. And sometimes we forget the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is relationships, right? And Pirkei Avos brings this this down very, you know, again and again, in terms of the relationships, that the three main relationships we need to have in our lives, right? That our relationship with ourselves, how to strengthen that, our relationship with other people, right? And our relationship with Hashem as well. And I think it's so important to be able to see that picture, right? That Judaism isn't just a set of do's and don'ts and do this and don't do that, but they're all part of a system of relationships, right? In those three areas, with ourselves, with others, and with Hashem. And when we can kind of see that, it also, again, helps us navigate all those questions. Because again, I think part of being a human is that we're going to struggle, right? And we're going to struggle with different areas of Yiddishkeit, right? And different areas of things at different points in our lives. And when we can kind of like see that, oh, this isn't just like, you know, this is this particular rules, but actually this is like a holistic system, right? With these different types of relationships and how it all fits in, it kind of, again, helps us come to a better place, even without necessarily understanding it.
Oh, interesting. Even without understanding, what do you mean by that?
I mean, again, maybe this is just me, but I think that everyone hits a point or a mitzvah where they don't necessarily understand, right? You know, it's so interesting because there are so many mitzvahs, right? And one of the big things that I learned from one of my rabbis, Rabbi Shlomo Miller, was that Hashem gave us so many different mitzvahs because every neshama resonates to a different mitzvah. And I once was teaching this and a woman came over to me and she says to me, you know, like, I hear that because I love the mitzvah of Bris Milah. I had never before,
unexpected,
and I still have yet to meet someone, another woman that has said that to me, right? And it was beautiful to hear that, right? Because a lot of women, myself included, struggled with that mitzvah. And I learned Rav Hirsch on it. And, you know, Rav Hirsch has a beautiful explanation on what Bris Milah is and you know, how it's specifically for the male, because the male role in Judaism is to carry the memory, to learn Torah, to carry the memory of it. And therefore Hashem gave them a bodily reminder that we're here in this world to perfect it. Again, it's beautiful, right? When it comes time to actually being at a Bris Milah or a you know, having to give your child to have a Bris Milah, is that the moment where you're going to necessarily say, oh, this makes sense, I understand it? Not necessarily, right? But if we can understand that there is a system that's bigger than us, right, that makes sense, then it can help us be okay with not knowing, right? Because there's so much in life and there's so much in Torah that we're not going to know, because it is greater than us, right? If we could understand everything about Torah, about life, about Judaism, then that would make it no greater than our own brain, which who wants to be part of something that's just, I mean, depends who you are, right? But, it, you know, so that's kind of what I mean by, like, you can get to a better space even with the parts that we don't understand.
Yeah, I like that perspective. I like that. Because it is a holistic system, you know?
And it's not to say that we should give up on the search for understanding, right? There's so much out there that you continue to ask, right? Also, you know, and there comes, I think, a certain humility. And sometimes life is very, very good at teaching us this, in being able to be okay with not understanding. You know, I was such a great parent until I had kids. Mm-hmm. Right? A great parent, right? And then I had one particular child that really taught me so much humility. And all of a sudden, I came to a place where I was like, wow, you know, I always used to judge other people and other parents. And like, all of a sudden, it's like, hold on a second. There's so much I don't know about what's going on in that family dynamic, what's going on in that person's place. And there's a certain, you know, sometimes life brings us along that journey where we get to have this sudden humility that comes with being okay with not understanding. And there's a certain also, I think, calmness that comes with it as well, right? When we give up that need for having to understand, when we can kind of like, even in our relationship with other people, right? You know, that person doesn't call me, but I don't know what's going on in her life, right? There's a certain, we can let go of certain things because and I don't have to know, right? I don't have to know what's going on in her life to know that maybe something's going on in her life that, you know, she's acting different than she usually act, then maybe something's going on in her life and she's not ready to share with me. So there's a certain kind of humility and a calmness that we can, a serenity that we can achieve, right, when we recognize that I don't have to understand everything and I'm not going to understand. And this is not the way Hashem made the world, in a way that he is hidden, right? It's imperfect and he's hidden, and there's lots that we're not going to understand.
Yeah, that's very important to keep that in mind. Before we wrap up, Gila, this beautiful interview, is there any final message that you would like to share with our listeners? What do you want to leave us with, right?
what do I want to leave you with is, so I think, you know, life is a journey for all of us, right? And Hashem has given us the tools, right? Torah is very, very vast, and it's very, very relatable, right? And Torah personalities, there are many different types of them, and there are many different types of people that we can connect to. And we're going to have ups and downs in our journeys, right? We're going to have times where we're going to feel more connected. And those, we love those times. Those times feel so great. We all want to be in those moments. Actually, I think the real growth happens when we're in those moments of disconnection, right? When we're in those moments where we kind of like, Hashem, I don't understand why you're doing this to me. And we can work through it, right? And have the patience with ourselves, right? With ourselves while we're working through it, right? That compassion. And again, I think this comes up again and again in the book, that compassion, right? Every single morning we say, Elokai Neshama Shenasati Tahorahi, right? The soul that you've given me is pure. It doesn't matter what I did yesterday, right? It doesn't matter what I did yesterday. Still wake up and say it. It's not you say this unless you've done X, Y, Z, right? Because who we are is a divine soul, right? And yes, our journey is going to feel better at times and it's going to feel worse at times, but it's not necessarily correlating that the times where it feels connected are the times that we're growing the most. Mm. Oftentimes, it's those times where we feel like, I don't understand what's going on here, or I feel disconnected, right? And yet, I work through it. I don't give up on the journey, right? I show up, right? I keep trying. This particular piece of thing didn't work for me, didn't resonate with me. Let me see if I can find something else. That itself is so, so powerful. And it's also so valuable in our journeys. And I don't think we value that enough, right? Because we don't. We live in a society that very much promotes and, you know, I made X amount of money in my business last month, right? Here's the picture of my finished house, right? Here's the book that I wrote, right? We don't celebrate like the 6 months that I stopped writing because like I couldn't, right? True story, right. Part of it, right?
Thanks for sharing.
I got to a point where I was like, 6 months, I stopped. I completely stopped because I couldn't do it, right? That was part of the journey. I don't necessarily know why that happened, but that is part of it. And there is growth that is happening in there as well. So look at yourself with that compassion, right? With that compassion that it doesn't matter where you are in your journeys. There's going to be ups and downs, right? And we hear it the whole time but remind yourself of it, right? If I'm going through a down right now, it's just a different part of our journey. And actually, the pattern that we see in Torah and again is that is where it's happening, right? So if you're in a down, it's not that you're doing anything wrong. It's that you're actually doing a lot right. It's just going to take time for that to see.
Mila, that's so beautiful.
Such an important, important message. I so appreciate what you're saying. I love your realism, and I see why your students so love, you know, what you share with them, because you really have your finger on the pulse. And I see even as you're speaking today, how many of the things that you've mentioned apply to me and are, you know, helpful to me. So I want to thank you so much for this wonderful DMC.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And again, love the podcast and I love what you guys are doing. So keep doing it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. okay, like I said in the interview, you know, I have always loved Pirkei Avos, and it was so nice to hear like what Gila took away from it and all of the insights that she had after, you know, teaching it and writing a book about it and just being really immersed in it, you know, for such a long time. A few things that really resonated with me was like when she's talking about like the Torah should be transformational, but not everyone really takes advantage of that. You know, like if we really tap into Torah, then yes, it should transform us. But like we should also recognize it's not like instant. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like it's something that needs to be actively plugged into.
Yeah, and it, like she was saying, like we're set up for failure when we expect others, especially people in leadership positions, to be that completely transformed. But we have to remember that they're humans. And like you said, some areas they may have been transformed by and others they may not have.
Yeah, exactly. And just like a lot of the self-compassion talk that she had about like just reminding us that we're not finished products. Like I know that I think it's actually been a little while since we talked about perfectionism on the podcast.
Yeah.
But here it comes again. It's funny. I was just talking about it with someone yesterday because yes, perfectionism is part of my life and I work on it all the time. And so like that self-compassion is just so nice. Just a reminder that like Hashem made us imperfect. Mm. Like we're supposed to be working on ourselves. That means there's parts of us that are not maybe where we want them to be, but that's literally part of the plan. And then the last thing that I really, really resonated with was when she was talking about how real growth happens in moments of disconnection.
Mm. Oh, yes.
And I was thinking something that you had said about how like it's very easy to be like, you know, when everything is going right, you're like, yeah, that's great, you know. But like when things are not going the way that you want and it's painful and it's hard and it's stressful, you know, I look back at the times of my life when I had some real challenges that were really seriously weighing on me. And those were times when I really could recognize that I did tremendous personal growth in those times. Hmm. As opposed to when, you know, listen, Hashem, like I'm happy with not having a lot of nisyonos, so like don't send me any. But at the same time, there's a certain depth of connection that doesn't always happen in the good times, which I guess is something I could work on to like try to find ways to be more connected to Hashem, you know, when he's giving me all the things that I want.
Hmm. Yeah, I also loved all of that she said in that topic. I like in the beginning, Gila was mentioning that like all of Pirkei Avos, that sort of like, and we can read her book and see it, she wants to open up the space to for us to find our favorite lessons.
Yeah.
And I really also appreciate it. She said that can change literally like day by day.
Yes, I loved that. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So let's remember, like we always say, oh, it depends, you know, life circumstances sometimes, you know, kids in the house, out of the house, your children grow up and it changes. But wait a minute, like forget about that. Just like literally some days you're going to feel it, sometimes you're not, some things are going to resonate, yes. Sometimes you're just going to not. Right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's like, it can depend, even like, you know, even just like something that's like the sun is shining or the sun is not shining.
I know,
you
right?
know, like that can affect the whole day, even like
Cleveland's
you know?
Weather.
Cleveland. For the record, the sun is actually shining today, but it is cold.
So, yeah, that's back to your theme. I think this was a constant theme today. Self-compassion.
Yeah.
Curveballs. She said, we discussed this, so I'm going to just share it again. You know, they're all helping me get closer to, and you know what? She used the word perfection.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, for us, like, perfection. But I think she means, like, that ultimate state that Hashem has.
Like tikkun olam, like perfecting the world, repairing the world.
Yeah, and on a personal level, like, I guess maybe, I don't want to see this, like, ideal version of ourselves that Hashem has in mind for us, but how do you see it, Rifki, like this, you know, that our curveballs help us become closer to our perfection? Like, what does that mean to you?
Maybe like, you know, getting closer to achieving our potential.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think like achieving potential is like a little bit of a less weighted way of saying it than like achieving perfection.
Yeah.
You know, like using the kochos that Hashem gave us and like really using them and not getting blocked by whatever.
And realizing that we don't have to be perfect in our response to the curveballs, but they like refine us, I think, to a certain level where we improve.
Yeah.
So,
and like she said, we should hopefully be improving a little bit every day.
Right. Right.
You know, like just like it's that kind of steady growth.
Right.
But like, you know, there's growth and there's plateaus and there's like slips and the, you know, like we've said before, like, you know, it's not like a, it's, you know, the road to, you know, success or, you know, the goal that you want to achieve is not like a straight line.
Right.
It's really very complicated.
Right. And there's that idea that like, you know, you've grown when you are being faced with the same nesaya and the same challenge, and then you see that you responded differently to it.
Yeah.
But like, that's not in your head intellectually. You're only going to see that once you've had that.
Right.
Another opportunity. And then you're like, hey, wait a minute. Like sometimes we surprise ourselves.
Which is so nice.
So she, this reminder that like the curve balls indicate to us that there is a purpose to our life. There's a purpose to this and that. Those curveballs help us move along in our soul's journey. I thought that was beautiful language.
Absolutely.
I also loved her idea, and I'll end with this, is that faith is, Our faith is being deepened, not shaken.
Yes, that was a great line.
Yeah, and yeah. Even though we may feel that like our faith is shaken, remember, like the process of it shaking is actually deepening. Yeah. Like the faith is actually being deepened.
Yeah.
Can that work for me? I'm going to think about it. I'm going to think about it. I love how it sounds. It's like such a quotable quote. I really want to try to internalize that the next moment I have that experience.
Nice. Here's this episode's takeaway. Take a moment and identify which lesson from our DMC with Gila resonates with you right now, and then ask yourself, how can you apply that to your day-to-day life?
One last thank you to Town Appliance for being our podcast sponsor. So you know how the big box stores have those like special sales, Memorial Day sale or whatever it may be, that match up to the national holidays?
Yeah.
So good news is that Town Appliance does too.
Oh, I love sales.
Yes. So I just happened to go on their website and I see that right now they're having their President's Day sale. So hop on to and go see what savings you're going to get.
Incredible. Why support a big box store when you can support a Jewish company and also benefit from their 40 plus years of customer service designed for the religious customer? It is a win-win. Town Appliance is truly the obvious choice. So check out our show notes for the contact information. One last shout out to our episode sponsor, We by SR Play. We playground structures are of the highest quality and safety standards, and their customer service provides expert planning, working carefully with the space that you have. They ship across the country, and they even make yard calls to New York, New Jersey. Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
With We, you can plan every detail of your playset. They'll help you design a play structure based on your preferences and your budget, and they'll also send you a 3D rendering of your plans. I love 3D renderings. Okay, I'm getting excited here. Please check out our show notes for the link and contact information.
Finally, do not forget about Yad Bat Yelakala's annual auction, Libi Bat Mizrach, on March 5th. There are a number of neighborhood parties in advance of the auction that we want you to know about. So in the month of February, you could attend parties in North Woodmere, Cedarhurst, Queens, Lawrence, and Lakewood to help Yad Bat Ya ensure that every Kala can greet this milestone with joy. Please visit our show notes for the link to find out about these neighborhood parties as well as information about the Libi Bat Mizrach auction.
Thanks for staying until the very end of the episode, where you know you'll hear about who we are DMCing with next. We're going to be speaking, like we mentioned before, with Meira Calland, otherwise known as the official Meira on Instagram, who shares accurate, real-time information from Israel about Israel.
And if you're a fan of DMC, please consider donating to support the work we do. We've added a way for listeners to make a small monthly donation on our website. And if you want to sponsor an episode as a Refuah Shalema or a Le'ilui Nishmas, a loved one, you can do that as well. Please check out our show notes for details as well as info on about our new WhatsApp group. And thank you to all our listeners who've been emailing us lately. And you can too. Our email is cmcthepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. See you next episode.